This program is a paid commercial announcement from Jacob Media Partners and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program is pre-recorded.
Every day, many of our nation's most vulnerable workers put on their armor to go to work. These essential workers are keeping our lights on, restocking our shelves with food, and battling COVID-19 on the front lines. Now more than ever, they deserve our protection and thanks. That's why during the pandemic, Pond Lehocky is working around the clock to help protect these workers and fight for their rights. Call Pond Lehocky's COVID-19 hotline to help you and your loved ones with your legal needs during the pandemic at 267-606-4343.
Now on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the Law Offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause.
And a good Saturday evening, everyone, and welcome into The Labor Show as we come to you another Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And J-Doc, I want to come right to you, and I must confess.
Wouldn't be the first time, but go ahead.
Right at the very top of the show, I must confess, I am enjoying our road trip around the Delaware Valley.
But that's like a tour of the Union Halls.
And
the Union.
And I love it.
Oh, me too. It's such a great, we're doing a spotlight series on the unions and the labor leaders. And it's not only great for us, Joe, we get the opportunity to meet with some of the great leaders in our community, but also for the general public to meet the labor leaders, to understand our union community, to see what we're about. No disappointment so far, and tonight's going to be no exception. It's going to be a great show.
And before you introduce our guest and talk about the local that we're going to profile today, I do want to let the listening audience know, stick around. We're now 2 hours every Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. 6 to 7 is our local union spotlight, and then 7 to 8 p.m. We continue with the Labor Show. Great to be on now 2 hours every week on the biggest station in Philadelphia, the biggest talk station in Philadelphia. Glad to be here.
Yeah, no, we are glad to be here. And the 2 hours gives us the opportunity, Joe, to really kind of lay it out there. You know what I mean? We don't have to spit fire, which we've been doing for years, and we love it. But, I mean, we can take our time and really get to the issues. And so I couldn't be happier to bring into the program Elevator Constructors Local 5 business manager, Joe Williams. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me.
That's great to have you. Certainly, Joe does a phenomenal job in representation of his members. And if you would, as we start off, just tell our listeners a little bit about, your members and what they do, the type of work you guys do, because it's, a lot of people depend on you guys.
Yeah, sure. We're the International Union of Elevator Constructors across the country in Canada. We're 30,000 members strong. Right here in Philadelphia, we have about 730 members. We've been around for over 100 years. The union started right here in Philadelphia with the business manager back in the 1901 with Frank Feeney.
It's funny because Krause, I'm sure, was there. You may not know that, but he looks pretty good.
I didn't
good
want
for
to say anything.
Yeah, I got to go. But.
So our union, we install, maintain, service, and repair elevators.
So you mean them high-rise
buildings to little two-story buildings. We cover three states, Pennsylvania, the southeastern Pennsylvania, half of New Jersey, and half of the state of Delaware. And all the casinos, all the high-rises in Philly, all the buildings out in the suburbs, if it's two stories or 50-story high-rises in Center City, it's our guys installing them and taking care of them. And then when they wear out and need to be replaced, it's our guys replacing them.
Yeah, I mean, it's a heck of a responsibility. Being an iron worker, I've certainly had opportunities to work with your members and see the scope. I mean, listen, it's nothing like working on a high rise building, and being able to look down that shaft. And it's going down 50 floors, and you get to know the guys that do that type of work. It's hairy work, but you guys have well trained. You guys have an apprentice program.
We have a good apprentice program. It takes about 5 years to become a mechanic. When you go through the apprenticeship, you get tested every year, and then after you complete the apprenticeship and 8,000 hours, then you get take a mechanics exam, a written exam that you have to pass before you can be raised up to mechanic.
Joe Williams, our special guest here on the Labor Show. Joe, as you're laying out what you do for the listening audience, I'm immediately thinking, oh my God, this pandemic, which we're all have experienced, your guys are right in the middle of that. You're right in the firestorm. Yes. In terms of the pandemic.
Our guys, so during when the pandemic hit, we were fortunate because our trade continued to work. Some of the construction jobs were shut down for a little bit of time, but all of our maintenance and service and repair guys had to continue working. And all the hospitals in the area, they needed the elevators. Elevators are essential to keep any business and building operating.
Sure.
And our guys were right there keeping the elevators running in all the hospitals and all the nursing homes. It was a little scary because our guys had to go into those nursing homes where it was a big problem, as we all know, but our guys did it, kept the cars running, and put it on the line to keep everything going.
One follow-up to that, even today as we do this broadcast, walking into an elevator when you're working in a office building in Center City, there's all kind of logisticals now, there's all kinds of safety procedures. That in itself has impact on you.
So you're 100% right, Joe. The social distancing, you can't do it in an elevator. I mean, everybody's been in a building, it's like rush hour. Everybody loads into the elevator and heads up to their floor. And
sure.
Then they want to come back down to go get coffee or at lunchtime. So there's a couple of things that our contractors are doing and innovations that have come out. They were working on them before the pandemic hit. But a big one is ventilation and the exhaust fans in the elevators. They have the ability to replace those fans with ultraviolet lights inside of the fan that circulate the air and clean it and send it back down into the elevator to help keep it safe that way. They're trying to limit the amount of people. When you go into most of the buildings now, you'll see on the floor of the elevator where they
right.
want you to stand.
Right.
Some of the new buildings, like the new Comcast Tower and a lot of the high-rises, the newer buildings, and they're upgrading some of the old ones where they have touchless buttons. You never even touch a button to get to your floor. So you hit a keypad when you come into the building. Some buildings you can even swipe your key fob or your ID card for your employer, and then it tells you what elevator to go to, and you never touch a button. So there's a lot of innovations out there to keep people safe, and we want people to come back to the buildings because we need people in the buildings to keep our guys working.
And you talk about essential workers, and I find it amazing, the heroes in the pandemic, because it's everybody. I mean, it's people you would not that normally, the people that are serving, the checkout people, the local five, the elevator constructors, because without is, by the way, you can't get out. I mean, in other words, who wants to, you're in a high rise building, and there's got to be volume issues with people coming in all at the same time. Having that ventilation is a big deal. But tell me about the spirit of the men, especially when at the beginning of this, when it was unknown, and they had to go to work in the morning and right in the middle of the entire thing.
It was a scary thing. Our guys were nervous. They were worried. Everybody was worried, and we didn't know what was happening. But our guys want to go to work, just like all the other trades in Philadelphia. We want to go to work. We need the work. It provides for our families. So our guys knew right away they were going to go out. One good thing with our trade, we're a national contract, and our international was forward-thinking, and they put a MOU together, a memorandum of understanding, and met with our employers to allow for some flexibility with our contract to keep our guys working, some flexible work schedules, start times, things like that, so that guys could keep working, which saved jobs for us.
And also with the building trades, as obviously a business manager with the building trades, you guys reacted incredibly fast.
Yes.
Which is impressive. We had that conversation last week with Jimmy Snow. You guys put all kinds of protocols in place. In fact, I think National OSHA, the National OSHA is utilizing some of the programs that you guys implemented. Tell us a little bit about that.
The The Philadelphia building trades, Johnny Dock and all the other managers, they did a phenomenal job. I've only been a manager for a little over 3 years, 3.5 years, and the talent and expertise of the managers in that room always amazes me, and the work that they do. And when this pandemic hit, the Philadelphia building trades was out in the forefront, meeting with the contractors associations and all the different trades, and came up with protocols to use that are being used as national standards. They went to the national building trades with it. I gave it to our people in our international, and it's things that we've adopted that came out of Philadelphia building trades that other areas are using as a standard.
And you guys were also the first, I think, labor community, union community in the country to come back, to be able to come back to work, to almost full strength before any other building trades, at least throughout the country.
Yeah,
it doesn't sound like you ever left.
Some of the construction jobs did stop.
Yep.
We had a couple big jobs going, and a big job in our trade is 25 or 30 guys on a job.
Like, sure.
That's a huge job for us. The University of Penn Hospital is a big one. And our guys, that job shut down, but our guys continued to work with a crew of other trades to have that hospital ready to go, the new building, as a backup in case Penn needed it.
Sure.
And they worked around the clock to get that ready to go. Thank God they never needed it.
We had, within our labor community here in Philadelphia, and like it's always one is too many, but we were pretty fortunate in the amount of members that actually contracted COVID. How did you guys make out?
Right in the beginning, Joe, we had two members contracted it right here in Local 5. And it, I mean, it was right in the very beginning, one of them, both of those guys, they ended up, one guy ended up in the hospital, but they both were very sick about it. And then it hit us right here in our own local. One of our agents had it right in the beginning of the summertime. So we've probably had close to a dozen, maybe 10 or 12 members have had the virus. So we stay on top of it. It's caused problems on jobs. It's hard to social distance with our work.
Sure.
And we've had a couple jobs where the crews had to shut down and quarantine for the 14 days. It's been tough that way.
This is the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Our special show tonight, J. Doc, a little bit later on as we roll along, I want to get at least one soundbite or two from Joe on one of my favorite things that they do, lift a vet. You know how I feel about that. You and I have had our best experience ever, I think, of doing this radio show.
At one of the boxing events. Local 5 has been unbelievable there. So, yeah, we'll talk about that.
And we'll deal with all of that and meet a few more members of the local after the break.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here on the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we come to you on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. J. Doc, I want to give Joe an alert. I want to alarm him. A week ago when we were at the Steam Fitters, snapped a picture of you trying to exit the building with the softball trophy. We have the belt inside the conference room, and I want to make sure that belt remains after we end
It'll
up leaving
gone.
The building today.
Jimmy Snell was faster than I thought he was at the Steamfitters. It's great. And by the way, that belt is, and we're going to get into the lift a vet. You will get a picture with that when everybody's gone.
Make sure it's there when we leave.
We're doing a spotlight on the Elevator Constructors Local 5, and of course, the great union, the diverse union, and we get the opportunity to meet all the officers. I'm happy to bring into the program John C. Kahn, who's the Secretary Treasurer here at Local 5. How are you, sir?
Good, sir.
It's great to have you on the broadcast. We got so much. So this is the guy that writes the checks, right?
Yes, he is.
Correct.
So Joe, this is the guy we got to schmooze
nice
up to. That's right. We're talking about some of the things going on right now, and that we'd be remiss. This is important. The elections, we're going to kind of just have some regular discussion here. But if you're in labor, the presidential election and everything that's going on across the country in relation to it is a big deal. How does that it affects you guys directly in some specific areas? I'll go to Joe first, if you will.
Yes, this general election is going to have a great effect on all unions, but our union is not any different than any other labor union or all the other building trades unions. It's going to affect how we operate as a union if this election doesn't go the way we want it to with Joe Biden. If Trump gets elected, it's going to have a negative effect on how we operate our union, how we collect union dues, how we organize non-union elevator constructors. It's going to affect our pension plan, our health plan, and it's a scary thing. And
John, elaborate if you would.
I agree 100% with Joe saying it'll affect. It affects everything as far as.
And how does that happen? In other words, how does it affect you guys in particular? You guys are, it affects us all unbelievably, with the Supreme Court. But how does it affect your procedures?
As far as PAC funds?
Yeah.
Just the way we handle our PAC funds. We don't have a big PAC fund. We're a small union, and our PAC fund's not very big. We don't have a huge staff in here. Johnny does all the stuff in this union hall. And if Trump and his people get their way, they've already caused problems with the National Labor Relations Board and the way we file our LM2 reports. I'm sure a lot of other guys, the other halls you've been in, they talk about LM2 reports. Well, that means Johnny's got to spend all his time, rather than taking care of our members,
sure,
and servicing the membership, he's with our accountant, going over our books, filling out all kinds of paperwork and forms and everything that has to go into the Department of Labor.
John, let me ask you this real quick, because I think you're probably, you speak to every single member, and you speak to them on multiple times a day, every day. Just from your perspective, how are the members? How do they feel? Are they nervous? Are they conversational with you? Just a general assumption or just a general observation on your part.
As far as the
election goes,
election coming up, they really don't talk about it too much. To be honest with you, as far as it's just their everyday doings. As far as the election.
Well, because you have a lot on the line here. I mean, one of the things, in labor, and I think we all know this, we obviously with the Supreme Court situation, when you're voting for president, you're voting for the Supreme Court.
That is correct.
And, a lot of our members crossed party lines last time. Okay, there's no question. I mean, I don't know exactly who, obviously, the privacy when you go into the voting booth, but we know that. Do you think people know what's on the line this time?
I mean, truthfully?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. I think they're looking at the overall financial, the monies are good, everybody's working, but I don't think they understand what's happening behind the scenes.
Right, and I think the magnitude of how we're looking at this, I mean, the Supreme Court coming up, Joe, how's that affect us?
Well, we already saw what happened with the Janus ruling, and now we know that they're going to go after the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and that's going to affect a plan like ours. We have our trade. We have one of the best insurance policies, plans, health insurance that money can buy. It's very expensive, but our employers, it's part of our benefits package. We negotiate it every 5 years, and if they're allowed to take that plan away and abolish the ACA,
yeah,
that's going to cost our plan a ton of money. The cost is going to go up because now you've got all these people who are going to be uninsured again. They still have to get doctor's visits. They're still going to go to the emergency rooms. Somebody's going to pay for that cost, and they're going to put it back on a plan like ours, which is healthy. But with that kind of cost coming on to us, it's not going to be.
you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have people like last time. You know, I mean, a lot of they pick on their heart. They'll pick on social issues. They'll pick for different reasons. But to me personally, this is a house of labor, okay? Mm-hmm. And your responsibility, the two of you guys, is to obviously represent your members. And to me, that's why it's so important. What is the message to the members, Joe? I know that educating them and to what really impacts them, so they make the right choices for their livelihood. Otherwise, they're just down here crying because there's no work, just like everybody else. And if you vote against your interests, it can be a problem.
Our message to our members is vote for Joe Biden. He's voted, he's supported labor 100% of his career, 100% of the time. Joe Biden has always been for labor. This president is not for labor. Donald Trump, a vote for Donald Trump is a vote against your union. And one of the things, you know, we hear about insurance, and I don't think our members understand that, well, we've always had insurance. It's going to stay there. Yeah, those guys are talking about this stuff, but that's not really going to happen. Well, one of the things that Johnny handles is we have a program in Local 5 called the Helping Hand Fund that started years ago with the previous managers. It's a plan that our members pay into, or they get assessed. But if you get laid off in Local 5, I'll let Johnny talk about the Helping Hand Fund because he manages it and takes care of our members when they're out of work and they still need insurance.
John?
So how it works is you work for, say, a year, and you get laid off. Now you're covered for 3 to 4 months. And then after that, it's the Helping Hand kicks in.
Okay.
So then what I'll do is every month I write a check to the international or to our national benefits, and that picks up your coverage for the remainder of the year. So you have like 9 months of coverage.
Oh, your health coverage?
Our health coverage.
Right.
Full health coverage. And what happens is,
I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, exactly. And it's our members. We're assessed $20 a month. I mean, a quarter, and that's what everybody chips in. And
last question before we go to the break. I'd be willing to bet, without knowing the answer, not one member objects to that $20 contribution.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's what unions are about, giving back
Correct.
To your members. It's
Correct.
It's the program show. That's what it's really all about.
It's the Labor Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Special beginning to the show tonight, Jay Doc. We do another tour. I love this tour. I'm not sure I like hanging out with you during the week on the tour, but I am enjoying getting out to the locals. We'll continue the conversation. And don't forget, hour number two, Jay Doc, got a big show lined up as well in
Ryan
hour number
Boyer.
Two.
Absolutely.
All right, so Ryan will be along with us in hour number two. More with the Labor Show after the break.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here on The Labor Show, as we come to you on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, this is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. Still ahead, J-Doc, a conversation about Lift the Vet. We'll get to that in the final segment. Big segment, our third segment of the special tour, J-Doc. And again, I'm enjoying making the rounds with you and letting all of the listeners on this great radio station know and get to meet the locals.
Absolutely. And we're here at Elevator Constructors Local 5, Joe Williams, business manager. And we're going to bring into the program Jack Cook, who's a business agent, and also Eric Rittenhouse, who's a business agent. Gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you. So as business agents, you guys are, you know, you're on the street. You're dealing with the jobs on a daily basis. And for people that don't know that and what that's all about, talk about your. I'll go to Jack first. You know, your day looks like on a regular basis.
Regular basis is I park somewhere in vicinity where I'm going to hit, well, part of the city, and then I grab my backpack, my hard hat, my safety vest, all my stuff's in there, and I hit the jobs.
And having said that, what type of issues, Eric, do you guys typically deal with on a daily basis when you're going out to the jobs? You know, what do you typically expect, and what's it like?
Varies from day to day. We deal with safety issues. We deal with issues with the guys on the job if they have payroll issues, anything like that. But the other part of the thing we do is we go out there and we just try to get the feel for the guys, what they're doing outside or what they're doing in the field. And just generally, any problems that come up, we try to handle them while we're out there.
And so having said that, you know, we talk about what our workers, our craftsmen are all about. We talked a little bit about the apprentice program at the beginning of the show with Joe. And when you're going out there and you're talking to your workforce, the biggest asset we have is our trained workforce, and we're dealing with non-union all the time, and we're competing on a daily basis. If you're sitting there and you're talking to an employer, or you know, why should they hire union elevator constructors? I mean, I know there's a ton of reasons. Why don't you elaborate, Jack?
Well, Joe, I think one of the biggest things is our training and our education.
Sure.
One thing, we work safe. Things have they get better and better with safety. Our guys follow the safety guidelines. The most important thing is go home at the end of the day to your family. And not only that, is guys in Local 5 really take pride in their work, and they want to make sure they do an exceptional job, because that is the big thing that separates us from non-union, is the quality of our work. You don't get that with the non-union. You do.
And the fact that, you know, at any time, you know, if somebody say can't make it in, or somebody's sick, you can call the union hall, and it must feel good, you know, Eric, when you can, you know, guarantee somebody, an employer, the ability to send another quality craftsman out to the job, and knowing that you're not going to skip a beat. Non-union doesn't have that.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. The guys, everybody comes through this union hall. They get trained through our education program, and coming through this program like this, not only, you know, with on the education side, you also have the vast experience of the guys who came before you teaching the apprentices on the job. Union members that have been in for 30, 40 years doing construction, things like that, passing that knowledge down. That's something that, you know, non-unions can't boast, is the history that we have.
Yeah. And Joe, you're talking about with our apprentice programs, you know, who pays for that?
We do.
Yeah. It's not government subsidized.
No, we don't get any money from the government on our apprentice program. It's paid for as part of our benefits package. A lot of money goes into it. Right around the corner, we have a training center with hands-on laboratories, welding facilities. Eric runs our welding facility. Jack teaches OSHA courses to our members. It's hands-on training in the classroom, taught by elevator constructors with 20, 30 years experience, and they go through training on how to teach to apprentices, and then it's on-the-job training that guys get.
Jack, talk about the working conditions, because you guys are erecting elevators from anywhere from a two-story building to a 70-story building. And you guys mentioned safety and safety standards. Talk about that. And how important that is if anybody's ever not looked at a shaft, an elevator shaft, and I have as an iron worker, it's unbelievable. It raises the hair on the back of your neck. Talk about the working conditions and why safety is so important.
Well, unfortunately, when we're in a hatch working, there's a bullseye on us, because anything can fall down that hatch. It's coming.
Let's not forget that.
There's nothing. You can't go anywhere. You can't get out of the way. You're in that hatch.
Well, before you go any farther, Jack, I just want you to know, as an iron worker, we have a little rule. If you drop something, don't look over, because everybody's looking up. But that's another story.
Listen, many things have fallen down a hatch. And
wasn't me.
And nobody's ever come to claim it. So right. that's the truth.
But no question about it. I mean, you know, that's a big deal. But talk about, you know what you guys do as far as being safety trained and how important it is.
Well, we go through a rigorous safety program with OSHA for all the apprentices. when we're out hitting jobs, Eric and myself, Joe and Joe O'Connor, organizer, we're looking at those things. We're making sure the netting's down, that there's no potential hazard for something to fall down the hatch. We're constantly trying to look out, and the guys will call us. If there's an issue, they'll reach out to us, and then we can address that issue with the general contractor and say, hey, we got a problem here. We're not getting back in that hatch until we get this straightened out. Exactly. So as long as you have the right dialogue and you're in tune with your membership, you can pretty much solve any situation.
And Eric, you talk about having representation and dealing with the employers. Now, I mean, look, sometimes when you're negotiating, Joe, sometimes you're on the other side of the table. But Eric, really, we're on the same side as our union employers, and we couldn't appreciate them more. Tell us about that relationship and providing that representation to members and the relationship you create with the employer. Obviously, we can't work without our union employers.
I mean, it basically boils down to communication between us and the employers. Our international negotiates the contract for us, and then it's up to us, not only us, but the employers also to enforce that contract. So as long as the companies communicate back and forth with us, it's pretty harmonious on what we can get done. But I mean, that's really the biggest thing is communication with the companies.
Sure. And Ed, before we, let's just start this conversation now. Let's talk a little bit, because I'm sorry.
Joe, one more thing I want to add as far as the safety aspect goes. We're lucky that we're in the Philadelphia building trades because we all communicate.
Sure.
It's not just the elevator constructors communicating with the contractor. It's all the trades. There's a safety committee meeting every week.
Sure.
If there's an issue on a job, everybody knows about it. It's not just one trade.
Sure.
And that's so valuable.
Right. And by the way, that's one of the major benefits of union. In other words, and having union workforce, the safety, we do the best that we can to work with everybody. I mean, I know working on high rise buildings, sometimes we have the crane coming over and the cables are getting undone. We're putting things, so there's a lot of little facets. So if the car, or if the elevator constructors are bringing something up on the 20th floor, you're undoing the cables, the safety cables around the floor, and you're putting them back together, and we're communicating together, because if the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing.
Right.
One of the things I want to touch on real quick, and we're going to continue with, is that the PA Elevator Safety Board, because I know it's really important to you guys, because you're talking about antiquated standards that we need to get up to date. Talk about that, Joe.
Yeah, elevator safety, it doesn't just affect the members, our members that are working, building the elevators and in the elevator hatch, maintaining and servicing these elevators. It also affects the public, the general public. Everybody rides an elevator. If you're working in a building, most people in high-rise buildings, they're taking an elevator. So the general public safety is a great concern. And one of the problems in the state of Pennsylvania is Pennsylvania has the oldest elevator code in the country. It's outdated. It's older than every state. And the previous manager started working on this, and it's gone from an elevator safety advisory board to, when Governor Wolf took office, it became an elevator safety board, where we actually are part of the, it's called the authority having jurisdiction. We have a say. And there's representatives appointed to that board. I'm fortunate enough to be sitting on that board, and we work with the Department of Labor and Industry. We have manufacturers, we have building owners, we have the one general public, and inspectors, which are also all sit on that board. And we're in the process of updating the Pennsylvania code to a much more recent and safer code, to the 2016 code.
When does that happen? I mean, what's the process?
We're just about done going over recommendations for the regulations. It's been and it got slowed down with the virus because we weren't able to meet.
Sure.
So it's been a year-long process of just taking input from all the players in the industry. We're almost done, and hopefully within the next year, the next step is the public has some input, and then it goes to the state legislators to get approved.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Jack Cook, I want to tell you how much we appreciate, obviously, the work that you and Eric Rittenhouse are doing on the job. Certainly, our agents on the street are what make it happen. We don't want to say that in front of Joe. Oh, go ahead, Joe.
Yes, I wanted to add to that. So Jack and Eric are out on the street. Jack covers Center City and Camden and some of North Jersey, and Eric covers the suburbs and the state of Delaware and South Jersey and Atlantic City. And they make my job so much easier because they're out of their houses by 6 a.m. and they don't get home till 6 p.m. And they're on the jobs. They're looking for new jobs coming out of the ground. I mean, they make my job much easier with the effort and the work that they put in on the street, getting out there and talking to everybody and keeping things.
Eric, only Atlantic City? Can't we get him out in Pittsburgh?
Oh, no.
My God, you said he gets home at 6, 7 at night. I'll bet that's a conservative. You know, I'm sure you've gotten home pretty late nights.
Hey, yeah, sure. The wife and kids appreciate it.
No, guys, thanks so much. Awesome job.
Thanks for having us.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by IOTC Local 8, District 1199C, and News Guild 10. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
And back here on The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause, as we come to you on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, hour number two in front of us. J. Doc, our final segment of the opening hour. What was Jack's last name in the previous segment?
Cook.
All right, so Jack Cook. A big shout out to Jack Cook for stepping in and cutting off mid-sentence. Great job by Jack. Just to get a point in, I love it. But let's get right into the final segment.
Yeah, so you know, we're going to talk a little bit organizing, and it's heart's blood of our labor community. And if you would, obviously we're here with Joe Williams, the business manager of Local 5. Joe, introduce our next guest, and if you would talk a little bit about, let's talk organizing.
So I'm going to introduce our organizer, Joe O'Connor. He's our organizer. The elevator, and we control 85% of the work, the elevator industry. 85% of the elevator work in the Philadelphia tri-state region is a union. So most likely the elevators you're riding on are installed and maintained by a union elevator constructor. But when I started in this business, it was 99% or 100% was union. So we deal with non-union. Other trades would love to have 85% of the work.
I was going
to
say, that's pretty darn
so
good these days.
We're in great shape, but we want to get back to 100% of the union. And then that's why we brought on an organizer in Local 5.
And having said that, the difference between union, in other words, there's a lot of non-union out there that aren't trained. They're not trained.
They're not trained. They don't have apprenticeship programs. They have they call it an apprenticeship program, but it's a home study program that their boss runs.
Yeah, could you imagine that? A home study program. Yeah. So I'm going to bring into the program Joe O'Connor, who's the organizer here at Local 5. By the way, Joe, you round off the Joes. This is four of us at the table. So whoever, we got to refer directly to our last names. Joe, tell us some, obviously, organizing such a big part of labor. What's the objective? And tell people a little bit about what you do in the process.
So I spend most of my time getting out there trying to meet the non-union elevator guys, form a relationship with them, try to get them talking. And when I first came on, we were pretty successful. We took two companies to an election, probably in the first 4 months, which was good. But right now, like I said, we have a program. We'll hook up with these non-union guys, build a relationship, and then...
And bring them in,
but we try to string them along and get as much information out of them as we can.
And having said that, one of the things about, a union, being a union member, and I'll say to Joe Williams, is the trained workforce. And a lot of times, Joe O'Connor, you're talking, I'm assuming you're telling them the benefits of being in the union.
Oh, absolutely.
And talk about some of the conditions and some of the situations that these people are in. I mean, the low wages that they're getting and all.
Absolutely, getting low wages. We have noticed in the last 3 years, their wages are going up. And that's because of the work that we're doing here and Local 5 and the building trades. Building trades together, the organizers get together, we work together, we get ideas, we kick things off each other, and it's been great, and we've really seen a big increase. One of the companies that we took to an election, we lost the election, but right afterward, they gave their guys, the mechanics, like a $10 hour raise.
Wow. I mean, and that's a big deal. Talk about the some of these guys, Joe Williams. You're dealing with individuals that are in very difficult situations. They're at the mercy of the. Let's talk about the difference between union and non-union. You're a non-union individual working for a construction company. You're almost at the complete mercy, of that company. That's not
They have no. We just talked to our business agents, Jack and Eric, and the non-union guys have
no representation.
So when that contractor has an unsafe job, they have nobody to come out and fight for them to make that job safer, out the condition.
And Joe O'Connor, we talked about safety. Some of these individuals, what are their rights when talking to their, when trying to secure safety standards from their employer? What leverage do they have?
There was a recent accident with one of our non-union companies, and we don't want to see anybody get hurt, of course. I talked to the guys at that company that we deal with and went over some of the safety things that we talk about day to day. They didn't know anything about them. Like a bolt and something that holds the elevator up, there's bolts and you're supposed to replace them every time you use them. They didn't know that. They were reusing them time after time.
So. And you know what's amazing? Because when I think of it, I think of as an iron worker. But you guys are dealing in elevator shafts, okay? People die, the chances, it's sometimes it's a life or death situation. And that's what these individuals sometimes are going to on a daily basis. Joe O'Connor?
That's true. That last accident, the guy, luckily he's alive, but he went down 10 floors on top of an elevator. And mainly because of the equipment that they were using, they didn't know how to use it properly. The other guy on the job told me that the chain falls, we have them inspected every year. They said it's the same equipment. So
my mission on
one of the things with those guys, with the two guys on that job, and they're smart. We're sure they're good kids and smart guys and hard workers. Between the two of them, they didn't have 2.5 years experience. Oh. In the union side, they would never have sent a guy with less than 5 to 6 years. And even that's not enough. But our guys, before they're in that spot, would have at least 5 to 6 years experience.
And that's the safety of the men and women working on the job. What about the general public that is getting into an elevator that has been erected by individuals with minimum training? I mean, they send
the non-union side will take a guy with 1 year and maybe he's a sharp guy and he's got some electrical background training, troubleshooting. He'll have a year experience, they send him out on a route repairing and maintaining elevators that the general public's riding on. Our side never would do that.
Joe O'Connor, keep doing what you do. It's the mission of this radio station to inform the public so that people understand what it means to have a trained workforce and why it is so important. So well done. Jay Duck, just a couple of minutes left, and I do not want to miss the opportunity to talk about Lift-A-Vet. Joe, if you will, give the audience a taste of what I think is just an incredible, incredible job by you.
And our good friend Ed Loomis, by the way.
Yeah, and Ed, exactly.
We didn't have enough time to have Ed come in and talk. He would have taken up the whole hour.
Well, we do 2 hours now, so next time we'll have one.
So I'm glad you brought that up, Joe. We have a charitable organization, a program called A Lift for a Vet, and it was started by Ed Loomis and Mike Walsh, two members of Local 5. When they started this program, they were working with homes for veterans, and once in a while that organization would come across a home for a veteran where they had a staircase that they had to deal with for the veteran who was disabled. So they would come to us, and that's our field, lifting people up.
Sure.
And Ed and Mike started installing lifts for that program, and then that program started going to just ranch houses, single floor homes. But Ed and Mike saw the need for this out there. There's a great need for veterans of all wars. I mean, there's still some World War II vets out there and lots of Vietnam vets who are getting up there in age. Their bodies are breaking down. And our program that they started gives them the freedom and independence to stay in their house because we install lifts. The lift goes in for any veteran of any war, free of charge. We purchase the lifts, we install them, stair lifts, wheelchair lifts, even home elevators. And the program has expanded to we've supplied lifts for our sister locals out in California. They've done a couple. Our brothers and sisters up in Boston, we've sent lifts up there. Other locals are starting their own.
And you do fundraisers, the boxing match?
We do two big fundraisers a year. We do a golf outing in the springtime, and then we picked up a golf or a boxing event that we do in the fall down at the Sheet Metal Workers.
Which, by the way, we broadcast.
It's a great event.
It's a great event.
It was incredible. I mean, yeah. we were running all over.
Is that event going to happen in 2020?
No. No, yeah. We had to cancel all of our fundraising because of the COVID-19. But the boxing match is all the trades participate, and each trade puts up a couple of boxers. All the local boxing clubs in the city train the guys, so it's not just throwing a couple guys in the ring and telling them to put their hands up. They get 6 weeks of training. They match them up with similar skilled and guys at the same level, and I think we had 16 fights.
It was incredible. And one of the things Ed Loomis said real quick was that, remember Joe, we had him on a broadcast, and he said, my biggest fear is that we won't have the funds to be able to pay for somebody's. And you could see it in his eyes. And so you guys, and Joe Williams.
J-Doc, I think it's amazing. I don't mean to cut you off. I think it's amazing. When you think about what it would take to do that, no charge.
And Joe, for continuing it and what you guys do with Local 5 does, and everybody's
and it's
on
our
board.
Members. Give a shout-out to Jerry Kerr. He's a veteran, came into our local through the Helmets to Hard Hats program.
Oh, yeah.
Did a couple tours in Afghanistan. And Jerry has come in and runs the crew of guys, taking that program over. And they're out every weekend and some nights during the week on their time installing lifts for veterans in need.
That's going to do it for this special edition of The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. As we close the broadcast and transition into our number two, on behalf of Joe Williams, on behalf of Joe O'Connor, on behalf of J-Doc, and behalf of all of the members who we celebrate tonight with this broadcast, I'm Joe Krause. See you on the other side.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communications Workers of America, and APSME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management. Today's program has been pre-recorded.
Now, on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, WPHT, HD, WOGL, HD3, Philadelphia. The Labor Show. J-Doc and Krause.
If we don't move in our own direction, we're going to become extinct. In fact, in some cases, we're close to being extinct right now.
Presented by the law offices of Pond, Lehocky, Giordano. Talk, listen, and speak to the region's most influential leaders. This is The Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause.
Hour number two of The Labor Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And before we get into the second hour, which is a live hour, 1 hour radio show, J-Doc, another quick shout out in the opening hour. We had a lot of fun and it was great to get out and do a 1 hour show, which we're going to do now that we're 2 hours every Saturday night. Yeah. That opening hour from 6 to 7 is a road tour around the Delaware Valley, where we get up close and personal and visit each one of the many great locals around the Delaware Valley.
Yeah, no, it was great. So, it is like it's an awesome tour, and it gives us a great opportunity to get out there and visit, the individuals and the locations that are so special to our labor community. Very excited about that.
Yeah, had a nice, good broadcast, and we thank everybody for tuning in to hour number one. Hour number two, as I mentioned, is a live show tonight here on a Saturday night. We've got two great guests who will join us and be with us for just about the full hour, J-Doc. And one of the two guests used to sit in a big chair for a while, and I think that's the last time.
Boyer.
I think that's the last time that Ryan that I checked.
at it with Ryan. Ryan Boyer, welcome in, man. Great to have you back on the Labor Show.
Hey, Joe, Doc, I missed the big chair. I missed the food, you know.
Yes, sir.
Well, you know what, though? We're doing great. I want to say one thing. Ryan, by the way, speaking of the food, you look amazing. I know you're working out and you're doing some incredible stuff. And on Facebook, I saw your picture, and you know, oh my God, I know you told me you're working out, you're doing a lot. So yeah. if next time you come on, you know, we're gonna have salads. but great to have you. You know the big chair is always there for you. Also, want to say hello to Sam Staten Jr. How are you, sir?
I'm good. God's been good. Every day is a good day when you wake up, you know.
Absolutely. And you know, Sam, I'm so happy to have you on the broadcast. It's been a long time coming. And, you know, we got so much to talk about. You know, it's election time. And the one thing, so you know, Sam Staten Jr., for our listeners, if anybody doesn't know, which I couldn't imagine, business manager, Labor's Local 332, Ryan Boyer, business manager, Labor's District Council, two of the great leaders in labor in the city of Philadelphia, but also in leadership across the Delaware Valley, whether it be political or in labor. These two individuals are major difference makers and game changers. And so one of the things I'd like to talk about, because we're talking about the elections coming up, so many things to talk about, but during this election time, and I'd like to ask Sam this question, about the influence of your father, Sam Staten Sr., a beloved labor leader and a legend throughout the city of Philadelphia. During this election time, what did he instill in you, Sam, in regards to the importance of voting and being politically active?
You know, I would say so many years ago, we realized we had a sleeping giant there at the local union hall, and we understood that, you know, our membership was the muscle and the brains to everything we wanted to do. And he just decided to, you know, get those folks involved in the politics and our members and committees. And when we found out how powerful we were, it just went on from there. We started electing judges and you know, all kind of elected officials without the party, too. That was an amazing thing we were doing without the party, because sometimes the party was being real, real snotty with their choices and they wasn't really being equal. So we had to go outside the party, and we was always successful. I think we 10-0 or something. We haven't lost a person that we supported because we really put the members out there in the street and preached the word. So when you talk about election and you talk about voting, I mean, he put everything behind me to really show me what that's about and about making change, because surely, you know, you can't be on the outside and not be at the table when the decisions are made, especially that can really have an impact on your membership. You always got to be at the table so that you can try to make a difference, you know, and we have always got that commitment from our members that they always support us in everything we've done so far. And, you know, again, and the good friends that we brought along with elected officials that enabled to elect mayors also and governors, you know, that type of stuff. So for me, that's everything. I mean, election is everything, because it really tells you where you're going and how you have, the makeup is for your future, even for your kids and your grandkids. So I'm so happy about him. He just celebrated a birthday on the 1st of October. You know, so I'll send out a heavily happy birthday to him. He's been 85 years old. God bless his soul.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Well, and Ryan Boyer, if you would, tell us what Sam Staten Sr. meant to you, and particularly around this time of year.
Oh, man, Sam Staten Sr., I consider him the blueprint of it all, the architect of, you know, this and a continuation of black independent political power. When Sam put that together, I'm so happy that my father was one of the foot soldiers in that army that Sam Jr. talked about. So being a second generation laborer, you know, when I used to hear about Sam Sr., it was like with reverence when my father would come home. And when I finally met him, it was probably one of the best days of my life, because I didn't know that it would just take me into a lifelong tutorial. And it's funny that his birthday was October the 1st, because now I still learn from him, and he's not even here, because when something comes up, I can, you know, a lesson that he told me, or he just told me a story, and I can relate back to it. And now when you're in the chair, you understand it a little differently. So he's still teaching it. And how you doing, Sam? I didn't get to say hi to you. I didn't know you on yet.
Yes, sir.
But, you know, yes. And I'm sure that Sam feels the same way, because those stories that you hear repetitively, you know, when you need something, you can call upon that. And you know, just every day I'm learning from Sam Sr.
Sam, one of the things I'd like to say is my father talked about your father all the time. And yeah. I had waited for so many years to meet Sam Staten Sr. And I think I told you the story. We were at the AFL-CIO event down in Atlantic City, which we do every year. And I'll never forget the time I met him for the first time. And in my world, it was like meeting Bruce Springsteen. It was fantastic. I'd been waiting for so long. And it was such an honor because of the impact and what high reverence my father spoke of him. So no question about it. It's great to see his legacy live on through you two great labor leaders. And the impact, obviously, during the election period lives on every time we elect our elected officials. So I wanted to make sure that we covered that, because Sam Sr.'s legacy is so important to the impacts of today. Joe Krause?
Sam Staten Jr. is with us. Ryan Boyer is with us. This is The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. And Ryan, as we go to the commercial break, I'll ask you, what's different about the new title of the show? I'm sure you quickly realized that J. Doc's name jumped up in front of my name in the show title, which makes it incredibly hard, Ryan, sometimes for me to get him in the room. The head is so large right now.
Oh, wait a minute. Listen, when Ryan Boyer comes back on, it's going to be Ryan Boyer, J. Doc, and Krause.
All right, so, good stuff. I'll check off on that.
It was already big. You know, he already had a sound. It's really hard to get him in a room.
You're darn right.
No doubt. We'll take our first commercial break here on The Labor Show as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. We'll get into the conversation after the break.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Plumbers Local 690, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, Iron Workers Local 401, and SEIU Local 32BJ District 1201.
This whole nonsense about not giving workers the right to organize with so-called right to work, that's bad. Something like that comes to my desk, I'll veto it, not just because I'm a Democrat, not just because I'm pro-labor, but because I know for a fact that's not very smart.
And back here on The Labor Show as we come to you on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, hour number two of the two-hour show. JDoc, one programming alert or one programming reminder. 1 week from tonight, next Saturday, remember every Saturday night now, we're 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m. Next Saturday, our Union Spotlight, the Sheet Metal Workers Local. What a great time it was to go down and do that segment and do that full hour. So we'll have that as hour one of two next week. We'll talk to Gary Messino and Sheet Metal Workers. Should be a great show. As a matter of fact, I can already say it will be a great show because we pre-recorded the pre-recorded the hour, and I look forward to that next week.
Absolutely, Joe. And so we prefaced it in the first set about the election. Everything's on the line. So that's what the conversation is going to be about today. And I want to ask Sam Staten Jr. Sam, if you would, talk about the importance to labor, to our communities, of the upcoming election.
You know, I mean, we have everything to lose. I say everything. I mean, clearly, we've seen the error that we made by not voting 4 years ago. And this guy gets in and just turned this whole country backwards. What I'm glad to see is that everybody's eyes are open. More people are, you know, especially in the sports arena. Never before have I seen basketball players, soccer players, everybody getting on TV making commercials about voting, you know, because that's how serious it is this time around. And I'm confident we're going to really, really beat this guy bad because I think people are tired. I think the Democrats are finally waking up and saying, you know what, we've been suffering for a long, long time. And, you know, we're not really, this country has not moved in the last 4 years with this guy. And he's just spreading too much stuff. Hate. Here he goes. You had the pandemic that he took a joke and look where he is. You know, we definitely will keep his family in prayer because, you know, sometimes you do things that you do it, but your family suffers. You don't put people in that kind of position. But that's where he is right now. His whole family is suffering with this thing. So we have to get out and vote. Now, I'm confident, like I said, we will, you know, get out and vote. I think especially in Philadelphia here, and I think we pull up out there in the counties. The counties are going to do better than they did before because I think everybody's just tired of us going nowhere. You know, again, you know, the first debate, that one time did he mention what he's going to do for the next 4 years, which is scary. Because it wasn't much enough this time, so it won't be much enough next time. And, you know, in the meantime, a lot of people suffer. So, you know, we definitely want to be out there supporting Biden and Harris going all the way. I mean, throughout this whole city. I mean, we want to try to get to 600,000 to 700,000 votes out of Philadelphia so we can really carry them counties out there that we know sometime will come short. So this election is like, I mean, as far as the labor movement, we almost can pack it up. Because this guy that gets it back in office, he's going to come cut our heads right off because he understands what they demand. And, you know, we just got to make sure we do our job to make sure he pack it in and be a four-time or one-time president.
Sam, let me get you to comment on the elephant in the room for the labor show, and that is a conversation about how many members amongst the union community will vote and how many will cross and vote for Trump. There seems to be mixed opinions about that depending on who you speak with.
Well, it's hard to believe. I know last week we had a building trades meeting and someone kind of scared me because we was on a Zoom call so you couldn't see their face, but the way someone was talking about pushing and holding stuff and not wanting to move forward to do an endorsement from the building trade for Biden, I was getting a little scared because for me, it's like that should have been a no-brainer. We went to the 11th hour talking about endorsement. We should have endorsed Biden 3 to 4 months ago. We had the FLCL sponsored Biden and all the people running for vice president came in here earlier this year. So if nothing else, we should have been did an endorsement. So they were scaring me. Finally, we did get it to go through, but you know, I think we do have some hidden Trumpeters out there, but they're not gonna overdo us. I think we're in the majority, and I think we're going to silence them, and you know, again, get out there and do what we need to do for Election Day. You know, but again, I don't want to mention names, but you know, one of them I'm talking about, who I'm talking about, because again, it was too much him and Horn for the nomination for Biden.
You know, here's the thing. It's which is hard to believe because it's voting against your own interest. Ryan Boyer.
But what's happening is we have to realize that Trump has a skill. He's an ultimate kind man. So he has people thinking that he's every man when he's a spoiled, pampered, entitled jerk. I mean, his father left him almost, in today's money, almost $1 billion. I mean, he's not but he has people thinking that he's a pull himself up, self-made billionaire, and he's not. And his tax return shows it. So some of our members, Lyuna took a poll in Pennsylvania, and it was about 48-46. Biden was in the lead, but I think now, after the debate, after the choice of the courts, because we can't forget the courts. They're loading up these courts with a bunch of young judges who don't have our interests at heart. So as we look at these young judges that they're putting in, they're going to be making decisions on valuable labor issues. And we have to really, really pump that into our members. And we almost have to have it go on an education program to demystify this fraud. Because that's what he is. He's a petulant child fraud who has never had a real fight in his life that he had to fight. He always sends someone out to fight for him. So I think that once we educate our members, we can get a lot of them to come home, Krause.
And that's an interesting point you make, Ryan, because we did have a lot of members across labor, across the country, crossover last time. And you, when you talk about educating our members, I mean, you believe that they're aware that by voting for Trump, they're voting against their own interests? I mean, when you look at the potential, and it looks like it's likely, of the Supreme Court and how they vote against collective bargaining and with the Janus decision, they are constantly voting against labor. And how many of our members know that? And how many of our members understand that they're, you know, that their livelihoods are on the line?
I don't know. Let me give you an example. We sent out a letter telling about if Trump wins, they're going to a different formula for calculating your prevailing wage, and your paycheck will be cut 48%. We had a member call and basically said we were lying. He was going to sue us. And he was upset that we were lying on the president, that the president wanted to give him a raise. I said, sir, and I sent him the memo from the Trump administration. He said, you guys had to make it up. And then he called and he wrote a letter, and he no longer wants to participate in our PAC fund. But I don't care. I have to still educate him. But Trump has some of these people drinking a Kool-Aid. It's like, he's Jim Jones, and they're the people drinking the Kool-Aid. And I'm concerned about it because a lot of it has a strong racist overtone to me.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Go ahead, Sam.
I think that's really the basis of a lot of his followers is the racial overtone. Because when you ask about what he had done in these times he's been the president, it's zero. You know, everything he opened his mouth is a lie. You know, he got 10 million jobs, he said. 10 million jobs. In 3 years, he created 10 million jobs. Come on.
He's lying.
So,
But you know what's interesting, though, Sam? I remember when he started taking the lead as the Republican candidate the last election. He's a master manipulator in regard. First thing he did is start talking about NAFTA. And don't get me wrong. You know, NAFTA was a bad deal for us, especially in labor. But having said that, I also think that what got him there was partisan politics in Washington. People were just so fed up of everything, okay? And he knew exactly how to play the game and started talking about these important issues. I'm wondering how many of those coal mines in upstate PA that he promised were going to reopen. I'm wondering how many of them actually reopened, okay?
Listen, they don't look at the numbers. Manufacturing jobs have precipitously dropped. Obama and Joe Biden brought back the auto industry. They gave manufacturing a chance. And if you look at Biden's plan, Build America Back Better, it's all about anything that the government procures, that they're going to make it in America, because that's the way that you build the factories back. So when Boeing builds a helicopter, those parts all have to come from America. So Biden's Build Back Better, it's better for the manufacturing class, but somehow, because he doesn't play the identity politics, these people think that Trump in Western PA, they think that Trump walks on water.
Sure.
Yeah. Sam Staten Jr., business manager of Labor's Local 332. Ryan Boyer, business manager of Labor's District Council. Both with us for the full hour. This is the Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. We'll take break number two. We'll take a commercial break. Back on the other side, we'll continue the conversation with Sam and Ryan. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by Sprinkler Fitters Local 692, Iron Workers Local 405, and Steam Fitters Local 420.
We're going to try to work with Republicans in a bipartisan way to find solutions to what really is not working.
And back here live on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, it's The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Ryan Boyer making his return to The Labor Show along with Sam Staten Jr. Ryan, so nice to have you be part of the broadcast, and I do say that with a serious tone. We did a lot of great radio down at 4th and Market on Saturday nights, and of course we've only gotten bigger and better now, expanding to 2 hours, and you were really a terrific part of just a great host when you were in the big chair, so I appreciate it.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate being back on, especially being on with my brother Sam. This is a great night.
Absolutely. And I can't think of a better night, to be honest with you. And having said that, Ryan, let's talk about some key issues in regards to the election. You would at voice, you know, before the show, we talked about how labor has not been in the current administration's conversation. Talk about some of the key issues on the line for labor.
Well, I think the biggest key issue is protected our paycheck. It's something called a Bureau of Labor Statistics. A prevailing wage is a rate that's paid most prevalently in all local municipalities. And when it first came on, it's called the Davis-Bacon rate. One was a senator, and one was a congressman, and one was a Republican, and one was a Democrat, because what they wanted to stop is predatory contractors coming from mainly the South and coming in low wages. So the prevailing wage has always been a bipartisan issue. Now they're trying to cut people's wages by going by the average wage. So they'll take what you're paying like a handyman and put that in, and they'll average it out. And the average loss to construction workers in Pennsylvania is 47% of their paycheck. Who can afford a 47% pay cut? And then, as I said earlier, the judges, Janus decisions, incurring on our right to organize properly. So it's a lot on the line. And just overall civility. Look at the state of the country now. No one wants that. How could you do business? Infrastructure, no infrastructure spending in 4 years. He's supposed to be the guy that builds things. Our nation's infrastructure is rated a D. So what are we going to wait for, another bridge to collapse like happened in Minnesota and thousands of people have to die before we address infrastructure? So we need to invest in this infrastructure. So there's a lot of things on the ballot that aren't on the ballot.
And Sam Staten, you know, you talk about racial relations in America and being at a crossroads. How much do you put that on the president? And how much and how important is this election to that and moving forward?
I mean, it's very, very important. I'm not going to put 100% of it on the president because it was still alive and well. He just woke up, you know, the devil in it, because it still was creeping around because, you know, minorities for a long time have not gotten a fair share, and people of color a fair share of everything. I mean, cost of living, work, contracts, you know, jobs. It's a whole list of things that could be done better. You know, I just think that, you know, what I'm concerned and worried about is these young people, because people like myself, who is getting close to retirement time, you know, it's important that, you know, we have fighters. Cause that's the other thing that we don't have like we used to have, is those fighters, because, you know, we did what we had to do back in the day, physical fight, whatever we had to do to make a point to build this organization and build the labor movement. And what's scary now is that you don't have a lot of these fighters out here. Everybody's looking with their hands out and they want something, but they don't want to sacrifice nothing. So it's really, really hard. That's why we have to continue to fight until it get right. Because I look at Philadelphia being one of the last strongholds for labor unions. I mean, you go around the country, you know, the building trade is not as powerful as Philadelphia, you know, because they don't stick together, one. But just in general, that, you know, contractors have made their way with the politicians. So, you know, to a point that, you know, the building trade is barely hanging on. So it is important that our young people get more and more involved, whether it be in building trades or understanding that everything we have obtained, overtime, you know, 8-hour workday, all those things can go away just with a strike of a pencil. Right? That we got to understand. That's why it's important to stay around. You wake up and say, what happened? Even the non-union person say, well, I was making this. Well, I was getting overtime at 8 hours, but now they work 15 hours. They're going to say, what happened? But Christ, they don't fight in that tone. So, you know.
Sam, know, let me get you. They don't. Yeah. Go ahead, Ryan. I'll let you finish. And then, Sam, I want to have a follow-up for you, but go ahead, Ryan.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sam, let me ask you to comment, if you will, on this statement, because I have made this statement. If I made it a dozen times, J-Doc, you've heard me say it 25 times in the last 25 weeks. Never before
has there been a time where anybody who wakes up and goes to work, I feel they should be represented by a collective bargaining agreement. They should be represented by a union. And I just don't understand why a majority of the people who go to work every day don't understand that. Why they miss out on that, on understanding that.
Here's a great part of the problem. A great part of the problem is even our union folks that, you know, we're not preaching enough. We don't sell ourselves enough. We're not in the schools. We're not doing more things that we can do to wake people's eyes up. So take me, if I'm making $12 an hour and you come to the union and say, I'm going to give you better, I'm going to give you some health benefits, I got to guarantee 12 here. And for me to jeopardize that, I got to really, really, really know that there's positive stuff there. And I don't think, like, again, we sell ourselves good enough to make people want to understand the sacrifice. And because we don't sell ourselves to make people understand the importance of unions on an ongoing basis. Again, you look at the high schools. We used to have all the shops right in the high school. And kids were coming out of high school getting into the trades. And it stopped. That was the best education that you can get about labor is right inside the schools where kids can make a choice. Instead of going to 12th grade car on the street with no jobs, they come out high school and get into a trade. So if that's the best teacher in the 11th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, or even 9th grade, we had the shops in the classes. And we have to get those back because that's only going to make the labor movement more stronger. And that makes people more understand why it's important to fight for minimum prevailing wages and benefits.
Ryan?
And I want to piggyback off what Sam said. I think the labor movement does a horrible job at promoting itself. This show right now, it should be streamed live on each one of our members' phone if we have it. We should anything. And if you look, just back about 30 years ago, if you look at those Sunday talking head shows, it was always a representative on there from the House of Labor. Now we're just forgot. They'll have the business community there, but labor is never represented in the public sphere of ideas. And so once you fall out of the people's imagination, they forget that organized labor created the weekend, that we created the 40-hour work week. Those things aren't what management did. Now they have the rock stars of is the people like Jeff Bezos. Now they make him a rock star when he don't pay his people nothing, and he makes $13 billion in one day.
Yeah,
that is crazy. And no one is out there to speak to that narrative. They have shows like Business Insider and all that. Where's our Labor Insider show? Where is that?
Well, we're working, right? We're working on it, my friend. We're working on it. We hear you loud and clear.
Yeah, and as we go to our commercial break here with Sam Staten Jr. and Ryan Boyer, the one great segment that we've started on the Labor Show is monthly. We dedicate one of the hours a month where we do a union yes, union no, and really, Ryan, to your point, try and push the narrative. Listen, this is a platform for the union community. So if you can open up and tell me what I need to do to be able to get this show on every member's phone every Saturday night, I'll do it. Whatever I have to do it, Ryan. You have my commitment that I'm certainly going to do it, brother.
Well, yeah, we got that. We have to get the tech people. But we used to run national campaigns. Remember, Vote the Union Label? That was a national campaign, just as big as Coca-Cola's ad campaign. Where's our national ad campaign touting unions?
We'll take a commercial break here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause. Very special guest with us tonight, Sam Staten Jr. and Ryan Boyer. Back in a moment.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show are sponsored by IOTC Local 8, District 1199C, and News Guild 10.
And back here on The Labor Show with J. Doc and Krause as we come to you on a Saturday night here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Another weekend in the books, J. Doc. After tomorrow night, Eagles get back to work tomorrow night, and hopefully they get off the snide and pick up that first win out on the West Coast. Back into the show. Good show. Good conversation. Real conversation tonight with Sam and Ryan.
Absolutely. A little shout out to our man Tim White, who's in the studio with us, a new member of the Labor Show team. So glad to have him on board. And we're talking with Sam Staton Jr. And Ryan Boyer, leaders of the Laborers Union here in Philadelphia. Guys, let's talk a little get out the vote. Sam, if you would, tell us what it's going to take to break some records and get people out on Election Day. And let's talk about the mail-in voting also, how important it is to make sure everybody's engaged.
Well, I think our president helped us a lot with the get out the vote with all the nonsense that he's done. I think, people, even I've been riding around, and I see people in long lines just for early voting. And the mail ballot just helps us because now, surely, again, they were trying to delve into that so we wouldn't have that because they have a fear of what not having control, you know, for that, the head guy up at the post office, you know, they had a plan for us. A lot of mail mm-hmm. going to get lost. Mm-hmm. Going through the mail is going to get lost if it went to the post office. So that's why they was trying to fight to make sure that didn't happen, that they could get control of it because they were banking on that. And now that they can't do that, I'm confident we're gonna do a mass. Like I said, we're gonna bombard them with the vote by mail, which is a very good thing for us.
Ryan,
yeah, we're gonna do the vote by mail, and we're gonna do what we call 30 days of voting. So we have the early voting centers, and as Sam said, the lines were there. So we're gonna drive a whole lot of energy around those. Have entertainers. But it's a national act to come in and encourage people to come out and vote and use those early voting centers so that we could do it. The other side is afraid. If they count all the votes, he knows he loses. So he's trying to disenfranchise major parts of people voting so he can invalidate the vote. Come and vote. Vote by mail or vote early. And then if you can't do that, then go to the polls. But by all means, vote. We had 250 people come out today from the laborers. We did a canvass today in West Philadelphia and one in Cheltenham, Pennsylvania. So we'll be in the five counties and one in Delaware County. So every weekend we have a truck out there with sound and video truck from our Mid-Atlantic region. And we have activities for our members to engage in every weekend. And getting up to the election, it'll be every day.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, Ryan, having said that, what's the, you know, with COVID and all and everything that's going on, one of the things that labor is really popular for and is getting those folks on the ground, labor to neighbor. How has, the pandemic affected us on the ground?
Well, it has affected us a lot, but we learned a lot from the census workers. So the census workers taught us how to knock on the door, and then while you're waiting for the people to open the door, go down, keep your social distance, have on your mask, and engage the people from a distance. Before, we wanted to shake their hand. That's not that. And some people still feel uncomfortable, so we leave a door knocker. So you'll see a lot of door knockers around, so people won't engage. Before, we used to try to encourage them to engage. Now, we just tell them to go on and say, I left a door knocker. So we're trying to, our goal is to hit 500,000 doors in the Delaware Valley. That's the amount of literature we got. That's our goal. We have a number of operations going on. And in some places, just get out the vote. In some places, it's partisan. But the goal is to hit 500,000 doors. And we're partnering with everybody that want to get out the vote.
Sam,
and that's just who we want to do.
And Sam, if you had a message for our, for our listeners, for our labor union members out there, whether they're obvious, whether they're in the labor's union or any union, what would it be in regards to this particular election?
This is our last hurrah. I mean, this is, if we don't get this done and do the right thing, we can pack it in. I mean, straight up. I mean, they've been, attacking our prevailing wages for years. Every time we have an election, we have to worry about that being covered. Now, it's not just the laborers, it's the building trades in general. Again, I think the government sometimes just want poor people and rich people. They don't want the middle class, who's been covering this country forever. So for us, the message always got to be, we can't allow this to happen. We got to come out. And I think we've been successful. Every time we got our back against the wall, we came out swinging, we came out fighting, and we won. So I don't see this being any different. you know, I'm confident, like I say again, if more people talk about voting now than ever before, that means they're going to vote. You know, all the protests you've been seeing, Black Lives Matter, all that kind of stuff, they're also organizing to vote because they know things are not going to change without a vote. So, you know, I'm confident to know that people out there, we just got to make sure that we keep the heat on from now until November 3rd, making sure that the votes get out there. And again, we understand there's going to be some bullying stuff that happens, not in Philadelphia. We're going to make sure we ride around these polls to make sure people can get a chance to vote. Again, you know, he sent some people here trying to get it on something that wasn't even for the poll.
Right.
Because they put him out, he going to sue somebody. Somebody ain't let nobody. Yeah, it was for something. But here they go show you what we're dealing with. And it really amazed me how he got to be the president. I mean, we stepped at the wheel for real.
And here's the thing. The youth movement in America is what's really important. Ryan, talk to that. And then, if you will, talk, you know, we got a couple minutes left. Talk about some local, you know, local races that are key also to our success as a labor movement.
Well, listen, I'm very proud of the youth in this country. As Sam said earlier, it was no signs of them fighting. This is all these movements and protests are led by youth. They're youth-driven. They're dispersed leaders, so they have a leadership structure that you can't easily define. And they're doing a lot of it by using the new technology and using new connectivity. So I think the youth is engaged. And we can never forget the local races. We have Nina Ahmad running statewide, Josh Shapiro, Joe Torricella, and we have our own John Kane running for Senate up in Chester County and Delaware County.
Shout out to John Kane.
Yeah. So I would just say this voting place and time, just vote straight Democrat. We can't push the ticket, but just vote everybody because you need a team to do stuff. And Trump needs to be stripped of his team because they have fallen asleep on the job. They've allowed him to collude with Russia without holding them accountable. So no Republican now should be voted for, period, point blank.
The Labor Show.
And as I look at it, Krause and Joe and Sam, we have to wake up and we have to understand that Donald Trump has fleeced the American people and it's time to take our democracy back, because if we don't, our democracy is really, really, really on the ballot as well. We can lose a democracy. France lost a couple of democracies, and that's what Trump is trying to do. He don't want to. He know he's going to lose, and he doesn't want to accept the election so they can overthrow. It is some dangerous stuff. He's a dangerous man, and I know that we hear this all the time that this is the most important election of our lifetime.
Right.
But I've never saw nothing like this. This truly is.
And you know what's funny, Ryan? I was just going to say that. I was just going to say. People say this is the most important election of your lifetime, and it's sometimes a cliche. But I think at this point, your words are more valid than ever. Without question, this is the most important election of our lifetime.
I'm going to give Sam last word, but before we do, J Doc, I'm going to say one statement to Ryan Boyer, and I don't often say this in Philadelphia on a Philadelphia radio station, but Ryan, good luck to your Dallas Cowboys tomorrow or this weekend.
Oh boy,
against the Browns.
Now we're going to war here.
Now hurry up, J Doc, and get them out before the phones blow up.
I got no comment.
Sam, you get last word, man. You get last word. I'll let you close it out with your message, and then we'll say goodbye.
Listen, you know, I'm encouraging everybody to get out and value your vote. A lot of people have died for the right to vote. The only way to get this country to run the right way is to get the right people in office. Use what people gave you. People died for this right. Get out and vote. On November 3rd.
Well said. Well, listen, Sam Staten Jr., Ryan Boyer.
Thank you guys for your hour. Thanks.
Now, I want to thank you guys for what you do every day for your members and for the labor movement. I want a happy, heavenly, belated birthday to Sam Staten Sr., a legend in the labor movement and in on our political arena. A lot we owe him a debt of gratitude for a lot of the things we have today. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being on the program.
Yes. Hey, Joe, Doc, give your dad my love for me, please.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. Will do.
All right.
Bye-bye. Okay. Thank you, Sam. See you, Ryan.
All right, good stuff tonight from Sam Staten Jr., business manager, Labor's Local 332, J-Doc Ryan Boyer, business manager, Labor's District Council, joining us for the full hour of hour number two of the Labor Show. Remember, we're here every Saturday night on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, and it was interesting to hear some of that defined perspective on the 30 days, knocking on 500,000 doors in what amounts to be the next 30 days. And as Ryan said, there's a plan in place and it's being executed. And that certainly will occur.
I mean, we just heard two game changers on our program. And Ryan Boyer, former host, and of course, Sam Staten Jr., you know, these guys don't only talk the talk, they walk the walk and literally walk the walk. Labor mobilizes, okay, and these gentlemen move mountains. And so I've never seen, in my lifetime, a more comprehensive plan on the Democratic side in my entire life. And so certainly we can be sure of one thing. The Labor's District Council, Labor's Local 332, and the rest of the Labor's Locals in Philadelphia are going to be out there along with the rest of our labor movement, all of our unions, in their best interest. So, you know, I'm so happy to have these gentlemen on the program, and I know we're going to get it done.
All right, good stuff. Before we say goodbye and good night on this Saturday night, one quick programming reminder looking ahead to next week, J-Doc, a big two-hour show. Remember, we're 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m. next week. We got two great hours again.
Oh, yeah, we got Sam Pond, who's going to be on our 7 o'clock hour, and we got Gary Messina, and we have Brian Bush of Local 19, Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, and man, people were in for a treat.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That was a great show to actually produce. Go ahead.
We might even get a monologue from Sam Pond. That's just a little somebody, a little birdie told me that.
All right. Well, he's pushing, talk about pushing the word out to vote, him and his entire firm pushing videos out all over social media about getting out to vote. That's going to do it tonight for the Labor Show with J-Doc and Krause. On behalf of our guests, Sam Staten, Ryan Boyer, and a big shout out to the elevator constructors who hosted us. It was fantastic.
Absolutely. Fantastic show.
On behalf of everyone, I'm Joe Krause. See you next time, everybody.
Portions of tonight's edition of The Labor Show have been sponsored by Sheet Metal Workers Local 19, CWA, Communications Workers of America, and AFSCME Local 1739, DC 47. This program is a paid commercial announcement and does not reflect the views of WPHT or its management.